Begin the current daf Masechet Yevamah is daf Kuf Chaf. We begin on the bottom of the Kuf Yutes Amud Beis, six lines up in the bottom of the Amud, but the Gemara continues quoting from our previous Mishnah. That is, the Mishnah said that although, as we've mentioned many times in this Masechet, that a woman is believed to say that her husband died when she went overseas with him, because she's daiko mincevah, she investigates appropriately and she therefore gets married, because if she's wrong, there's going to be a lot of penalties levied against her. But there are five women that are not believed, although the woman herself or even one witness is believed. Five women are suspect that they're going to try to mess up that woman. One of them being the Yavama, the potential future co-wife of that woman. So therefore the Mishnah said, if there's two brothers that went overseas, and their two wives come back and say that they're dead, neither one of them could get remarried because, although each one is believed regarding her own husband that he's dead, but regarding her sister-in-law, she's not believed to say that her husband did, and therefore there's still a presumptive chazakah that each one has a yavam that she has to do yibin to, and therefore, since they actually might be dead, but we don't know, and therefore they can't marry other people. Now, but then the Mishnah said regarding the following case, Nisyabmu umesu hayavmin. If let's say, so we said that they can't marry other people, but let's say besides these two brothers, there were another two brothers. So that each one is believed to say that her own husband died. Now, she can't marry other people because she's still zakuk to the other woman's husband, which is her husband's brother, because each one has that yavam that's still potentially still alive, which the yavama is not believed for the other potential tzara. But there were two other brothers that you're allowed to go ahead and do yibim for. So let's say they did that, and then the yavama died. So the Mishnah said, Asrun le'nasei, so now they're back to the original problem. There's no other Yavaman. Now, the only ones they can marry are other people, which is called a shok. They can't do that because maybe that other brother is still alive, because we don't have witnesses, only that woman, and that woman is not believed for the other woman. So therefore, they're not allowed to get married to other people. And they still have to wait out because of the chazakah, that maybe the other brother is still alive. On that, Rabbi Lazar Emir, he said in our Mishnah that no. Hayavu hutru liyavmin, once they really became permitted, each one, we believe them that their husband is dead, even to go ahead and enter a possible Isser Eishas Ach, we said that no, there's a heter of Yibim for each one to marry the Yavaman, as they both did to the other brothers. So Hutru L'Kal Adam, so it's, therefore, it's already became permitted for each one to assume that, as we assumed each one of their husbands were dead, to allow each one to go ahead and marry someone else. So now, each one is not problemized, doesn't have the problem with the other one's a husband, which can be the other one's Yavam. We say no, we say that we consider them dead as we permit each one to do Yibum, and therefore they can marry other people. Now, on that halacha of Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara says, Bei Rava. Rava asked, My time, Rabbi Elazar, what's the fundamental principle of Rabbi Elazar? As the Gemara explains, is it because Mishum de Ksava that Rabbi Elazar holds Sar Me'idu L'Chaverta, that a co-wife could say testimony for the other co-wife? And that is, ultimately what he's saying is that because these two Yavamis are at least potential tzaras, and because of the component that each one is a tzara or potential tzara, which is what we call Yavama to the other, that does not invalidate her from saying testimony to the other, which Tosfos brings from the Ri, definitely seems difficult to entertain that, because we learned early in the paragraph of Koged Zayin Medav, that there were five women that we said are not believed to say testimony, and one of them was Yavama. Why doesn't Rabbi Elazar argue over there? So that actually explains that it's different over here than over there, because there, where the tzara or the yavama is coming to say testimony regarding the other one, that of course, even the Kodesh Belazi should not believe because she's trying to mess her up. But here, each one is not intending to say testimony regarding the other one. She's just saying regarding herself. She's saying that her husband died so that she could remarry. Now, because that's her only purpose is for herself, and not to say testimony regarding the other woman's, her future Yavama's Yavam, which is her own husband, is just regarding herself. So therefore, that's what the Rav is entertaining, that maybe that's Rabbi Elazar's reasoning, that since she's saying it for herself, the fact that it will also affect this tzara or future tzara, which is the Yavama, that doesn't concern us, and she's believed. Idilma, maybe the principle is Mishum Dehila Mekalkal Anavsha. The reason is because she's not going to mess herself up, meaning because, as we see, the case is that we have these two women with these two husbands, and there are two yavams in that case that they're arguing on, and each one goes ahead and does yibum with the other one, and then those yavams die, and then Rabbi Elazar says, okay, now they can marry other people, because each one is obviously saying the truth. Why? Because you mean to say she's lying to mess up the other one? That to say that really she's zaku to the yavam, but she wants her to get messed up, so she says that really her own husband's dead, which is that woman's yavam? How can you say that? But she herself, based on her own testimony, went and entered a relationship of erva eshasach. Obviously, she's not lying, because she wouldn't mess herself up just to mess up her friend. So that's the question, which idea is that Rebbe Elazar is going with? Is it because, no, she's believed, as Taisa explained, since her primary reason is not for the other one, why shouldn't she believe? Or is it because, no, actually she's not believed, but to mess herself up and then also to mess up her friend, that far a person wouldn't go, and therefore should be believed. So the Gemara is l'may nafkamina, I mean, what's the halachic difference, what's the reasoning of Rebbe Elazar? So the Gemara says, we can say on top of Kaf Chof Amar Aleph, is, for example, let's say a woman goes overseas with her husband. She comes back and says that her husband died, and she left over that man who she's claiming died. Her husband also had another co-wife that stayed back over here that didn't go overseas. And the difference would be, la'insubi litzara, if this co-wife who stayed behind would get married based on that other woman who went overseas with her husband's testimony, mikmei dida. Before that other woman who went overseas, who said the testimony, before she herself gets married, as the Gemara explains. Because Iyamrit Sarah Me'id L'Chaverta, if it's like the first option, as Rav had entertained, because he has no problem about a co-wife saying testimony for the other one. Again, as the Rehad said, because it's not her primary function. So then, Avagav Delay Insiv, so even if she didn't herself get married yet, Minas Binan Leila Tzar, we couldn't have her co-wife get married, because the testimony she's saying for her own husband works for either her future co-wife, which would be the case of the Yavama that we're discussing in the Mishnah, or her actual co-wife, which is the case we're discussing of the Tzara. She can get married even beforehand because she's believed. Because she's saying the testimony for herself, which actually affects also her co-wife. However, but I amit mishum dihi lemikalkal nafsha, but if you say the primary svara logic is because she's not going to mess herself up just to mess up her friend, then it's only insif. If after saying testimony that her husband died, which is either that other woman's yavam or that other woman's husband too, then only if she marries first, which obviously if she was saying a lie would be messing herself up, then then we marry her co-wife too, because obviously she's not going to mess herself up just to mess up her co-wife. But if she herself didn't get married yet, then we wouldn't marry off the co-wife yet, because she's not messing herself up by saying the testimony. It's only if she acts on it. Then that would prove it. So that would be the difference between these two different options. Would it only work to marry off the Yavama or the Tzara, even only if she said the testimony, or only after that she actually acted upon it when she herself got married? Sigmar says, so that was Rava's question. What is the primary reason, which, again, that halachic difference would be if she has to marry first or not? So Sigmar says, Tashma, come bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, regarding a case where which we just quoted before, when the husbands died, and then they went and did yibam to two other brothers, and then those yivamim died. He said, and these are his words, once these two women were permitted to marry the other two brothers, let's say they were married to Reuben and Shimon, and then they did yibam with Levi and Yehuda. Now that Levi and Yehuda die, so now we're not going to go back to the original problem that we had, which each one maybe is problematic for the other one. It says, no, now they're already permitted to marry whoever they want to. Now, that the Gemara proves, if the primary reason is because she's not going to mess herself up, and therefore we say that she's believed regarding her co-wife too, well, that makes sense, as our Mishnah says, where could each one went and got married to one of the other Yavams. So minasvinallah. So therefore, now we can marry off the other co-wife to other people, because obviously that other woman's husband died too. But if you think it's like the first option Rabbi quoted, that no, just a co-wife is believed to say testimony regarding the friend, because she's saying it for herself, whatever the reasoning is. But if that would be the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar, then afagav delei insav nami, then even if they didn't get married, even if they didn't do yibam with Levi and Yehuda, why does Rabbi Elazar have to argue only in that case? It should be even regarding the primary halacha of the Mishnah, which is when you have two yavamin, meaning you have two brothers and their wives, and they come back and say their husbands died, they should be allowed to marry, because each one is believed regarding her own husband, and therefore, if you're saying the reason he holds, you're allowed to say testimony regarding the yavama. So say it over there. Why does he say it only in the case regarding if they first did Yibam to the other Yavamin, and then when those Yavamin died, they could marry whoever it was. That sounds like because of Elo Shema Minah, rather from there you could infer that time of Rabbi Lazar is only if, and the reason is because Mishum de Intzivu, because they first got married to other people, she would be messing herself up, obviously, if her own husband really was not dead, which is to just mess up her future Yavama to say that her Yavam, her husband, had already died because she's entering now in Isser Eishas Ach Shalei B'makam Mitzvah. And rather, because of Lemekalkal Nafshas, because obviously is a woman wouldn't mess herself up. And that's why she's believed. Because or else, why would it say a case only of first doing Gibim and then being permitted to others? So I think Mara says, actually, it's not a Raya. Actually, you could say, like, the first option, the reason is because she's believed. But Rabbi Lazar, the Devreim, Kamal, who Rabbi Lazar was responding to the Tanakhama, to the Rabban who argued on him. And he was saying as follows. Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Lazar said, Sarmi l'chaverta. Like the first option, Rabbi was saying, actually, a co-wife could say testimony regarding the other co-wife. And that's va'afak avdolei intziv minatzvin alon. Even if she herself did not get married based on her testimony, we could marry off the other co-wife because it's not a problem. Now, but what he was saying in the Mishnah was, and that's why he only argued on that next case, but according to you, that you hold, okay, fine. A co-wife is not believed regarding the co-wife. She's from the five women that's not believed. She hates it. She's going to try to mess her up. And therefore, you say she's forbidden to get married. But what he said was, but at least agree to me. But where she herself, that woman who's saying the testimony, gets married, that's for sure then you can marry off the co-wife or the future Yavama. Because she's not going to mess herself up just to mess up the future Yavama. And therefore, again, there's no raya. Now, Rabbanu, what Rabbanu responded, and the reason why they argue even on that case, even if she herself went and married a Yavam, still we say that maybe her husband's really not dead and she's just doing to mess up her co-wife, is like the Pasuk says in Shaftim, like Shimshon says, Tamis Navshi and Polishnim Hudakabda. What she's doing is an act of Shimshon where he pulled down the beams and killed all the Philistines and killing himself in that too is, you know what? I'll take them down and myself too. And that's what she's doing too. Yes, I'll mess myself up just to mess herself up. And there's no raya. And they held even in such a case that a woman will go ahead and do Yibum will still have her co-wife being forbidden. But again, the Gemara didn't resolve this question from our Mishnah. So Gemara says, Toshma, come in, let's bring a raya from the following Braisa. Braisa says, which was similar to what we had on the previous mission of Kofetz Chesem and Aleph, where her Isha Shaholch Hiya Bailam Din Sayam, a woman that goes with her and her husband overseas. Ubo Ava Amar Meiz Baili, she comes back and she says, my husband died. So Tinase Betitla Ksubas, as we said, she's believed to get married, and she takes her Ksuba. But Vitzaras Asura. But her Tzara, her co-wife, is forbidden because she's not believed regarding the co-wife. Now this, the Braisa adds on that Rabbi Lazar Omer, he argues, he says no. Hoyel b'hutrahi, since she herself is permitted the woman that's saying testimony, so hutra na mitzirasa, so too is her co-wife permitted. Now what we see from the Braisa clearly in Rabbi Lazar's opinion is that obviously from the moment that the woman herself is permitted, we permit her co-wife even though it doesn't say that the woman herself got married. So obviously it's not based on Mekakelis Nafsha. It's based on because she's believed with the testimony for her co-wife. And I think Mara says no. Ema, you should say what the Braisa was saying was, Hoyel v'hutra vinnesis. Not hutra that she's permitted to get married, but that she's permitted and got married. And then is when we say that the co-wife could go ahead and get married. And therefore it could be like the second option. But on that, the Gemara asks, if the reason of Rabbi Lazar is not because, like we attempted to bring a raya from this Braisa, that the co-wife is believed to say testimony regarding the other one, but rather because she wouldn't mess herself up. But the problem is, v'leichesh dilma begita asoi, we should be concerned that she is trying to mess up her co-wife. Now, how is she messing up her co-wife? She's getting married, and which if she gets married and she's still married herself because her husband's not dead, then she'd be messing herself up. Maybe she's not going to mess herself up. How is that possible? Because maybe she got a get from her husband. She was overseas, they got in a fight, he gave her a get. Now, she conceals the get. She comes back and she says, I'm sorry to say, our husband died. Now, v'haide kamahachi, so why is she saying this? Why would she say this? Because she wants to mess up her co-wife. She wants her co-wife is going to say she's getting married. Obviously, it's true that our husband died, but it's not true. Because she's only getting married because she really has a get, but the other co-wife doesn't know about it. But she wants the co-wife to get married, which will ruin her. Now Rashi explains that by the case of the Mishnah, where they were miyabim to the others, which is the case Rabbi Elazar is talking about, then you can't say that, because even if she had, even if either one had a get, she'd still be messing herself up by marrying the husband's brother, because you're always forbidden to the husband's brother unless it's in the context of where the husband dies around the children. But the question is, regarding the case of Lashuk, then you should be concerned. In other words, how can you say that it's talking about, as the Gemara tried rejecting the Raya, that it's there's an Emonis? No, it's Toman because she won't mess herself up. What do you mean? Maybe she, if the whole reason is because she's not going to mess herself up and that's why you left, because she's getting married to someone else, maybe she's not really messing herself up. Maybe she is lying. What do you mean? If she's lying, then how is she getting married to someone else? Because maybe she has a get that she's hiding. She has a get that she's hiding, so why would we allow the co-wife to get married? Obviously, the reason is because of that there is an emanus, because it was based on that she wouldn't mess herself up. There wouldn't be proof that she's messing herself up. Again, as we said, well, however, in contrast to the case of the Mishnah, where that we couldn't bring a raya from, because there obviously she'd be messing herself up, because a get wouldn't help to marry the yavam. So now the Gemara says no. And that's not a difficulty on how the Gemara wants to reject the raya and say that it could even be based on the svar of Mekakalas Nafsha. And the reason is because id insav liYisrael hachinami. You're right. If she'd be getting married to a Yisrael, it wouldn't be a raya, because maybe she really has a get and she's just making this whole scheme and she's trying to mess up her co-wife. And if that's the reason, as we're attempting to say, you're right, but getting married to Yisrael wouldn't do anything. But what the Bryce is talking about is the insiv likayin, where she went and she said, our husband died, and I'll prove it to you, and she got married to a kayin. Now, if the husband would then subsequently come, and she would show, oh, it's not a problem because I have a get, I was allowed to marry someone else, but it's not true because she would become invalidated to her current husband, the kayin, because then she'd be a grusha, and a grusha is forbidden to kayin, and she wouldn't mess herself up to marry someone that she'd have to leave, and therefore that's the raya, that if she's marrying someone else, meaning the kohen, that she's obviously saying the truth and she's believed regarding the co-wife, because she wouldn't mess herself up. What do you mean mess herself up? Maybe she has a get hidden. A get hidden wouldn't help when she's marrying a kohen, because a grusha is forbidden to a kohen. Maybe the Gemara did not resolve the either way for Rabbi's question regarding the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, if it's based on the nemanis that she has belief, or just because she wouldn't mess herself up. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again, continuing to qualify this halacha regarding when we said that a person, a witness, is believed to say that the husband died and the woman's permitted to go ahead and get married, even the woman herself. So the Mishnah qualifies this halacha about testifying that the husband died. So the Mishnah says, "Ein me'idin." No one's allowed to say testimony regarding a man that he died to then allow his wife to get remarried. Ella, only if that he saw the man dead, al partsif ponim imachaitim. He saw the form of his face, which Rishonim say that's basically a reference to the cheeks, with the nose, where then they could recognize that this is him. But if they didn't see the full figure of the face, or his nose was missing, they cannot say testimony to permit his wife to get remarried, because maybe this is not that same man. Now, and that the Mishnah says, that's afapi, that's even if sheyesh saman begufay b'kelev, even if there's identifying features in his body, or in his garments, it doesn't make a difference. That's not sufficient evidence enough. You have to see the form of his face with his nose. That would be the requirement to identify that this is the person that died. Now, moreover, the Mishnah says, "Eime idin." You can't say testimony if, let's say, even if you saw the form of his face and his nose, that he's dead. Ela acha tetzi nafshe. Only if actually his soul departed, and that's the chiddush is vafila ru'u maguyid. Even if you see him all chopped up, hacked up by a sword, or vitzalov, or if he's hanging on the gallows, or v'hachaya, or if a wild animal pounced on him and is oicheles by, is eating him, doesn't make a difference until he actually died. You can't say testimony that he's dead. Moreover, the Mishnah says, "Eime idin elad gimel yam." You could only say testimony regarding a person that you saw that he died, to say testimony in him, only if they saw him within 3 days of when he expired. But if they saw him after 3 days, then we're concerned that maybe the form of his face has already been distorted because of the decomposition. And maybe they think this is him because whoever it is looks different now. But after 3 days, maybe you start conjecturing. Either way, after 3 days that the person has died, you can't say testimony anymore. Now, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, he argues, he says, "Loi kala adam." not every person, not every place, not every time, is shoven, are the same. In other words, there are certain people that they blow up quicker than other people. For example, someone that has more fat. Or you have certain places that the sun is more effective, it decomposes, it creates more heat than in other places. And therefore a person would die and decompose faster. And there's certain times, forget about places, that the world is hotter and a person decomposes faster. And therefore you can't just make these general rules, which Gemara is going to ask, is he saying astringency? Or is he saying a leniency? What does he mean to say by saying that you can't qualify that it's exactly 3 days? And as you're saying it, what does he mean to say by that? Astringency or leniency? Now the Gemara explains regarding the halacha that the Mishnah started off with, regarding what do you have to see to say to testify. So we're talking about in the Braisa that padachas, the forehead, the loy parts upon him, lets you see the forehead of this person, but not the form of his face, which again, like lets him means the cheeks. Or parts upon the padachas, or you see the form of the face, but not the forehead. Ima idin, that you cannot testify regarding this person that he died. Achiyush neim mochet, unless you see both the form of the face, the forehead, with the nose. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, V'itim Rav Kahana, some say Rav Kahana, he says, Micro, what pasuk do we have to show that these are the identifying features of the person? As a pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, Hakaras peneihem, the recognition of their face, Ansabam, testified regarding them. In other words, we see that testifying regarding any other part of the body will not work. Rather, you have to have heker upon them. The recognition of the face will testify that this is that person. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings a story that Abba Bar Marta, that he was also Abba Bar Menyumi, that was his name, Havamaski Bey Debey Rish Galusa Zuzi, the household of the Rish Galusa, which is the head of all the Jewish people in the exile, were trying to claim by him a certain amount of money. Now, I say Kira, so what he did was he was trying to avoid them. So he took some wax, Davak Bivlisa, he then attached that wax to a small worn out rag, and Davak Bapusa, he attached it to his forehead. And Chalav Kamayev Loi Bishakrua, so he walked in front of them. They didn't recognize him again because he had this little piece covering his forehead, covering part of his face, which again illustrates this halacha that we're saying that although he was the same build and same everything, same clothing, but the way you recognize a person is with his parts upon them, and he had that covered, and therefore they didn't recognize him, and he was able to avoid his creditors. Now the Mishnah said that that even if there's other identifying features in his clothing, in his different utensils, or in his body, it doesn't help. You have to see the parts upon him. Now that the Gemara asks, lamemer, is that to say that the simanim lav d'oraisa, that identifying features in an object is not biblical? Because if identifying features would be a biblical halacha, then if we have a simon in his garment or in his body, that should identify him as him. Why would it be just hakaras peneim? So it sounds like that simanim is not d'oraisa, since it's not biblical halacha. We cannot use it to allow a woman to remarry, which would be an erev of eishes ish. Now that the Gemara asks for a minute. The Gemara asks from the following braisa, which talks about if there's a person that's bringing a get, a shliach, a messenger is bringing a get to a woman, and he loses the get. Now, if matzai kosher, because if subsequently he finds the get attached to his wallet, or ba'arniki, or in his purse, ubitabas, or in his ring, or he finds it amongst the utensils in his house, and he recognizes that this is his wallet, or this is his ring, that there are his, then afilas mamaruba, even if he finds the get at a later point in time, kosher, the get's going to be valid. In other words, what the halacha and that Bryce is saying is that we're not concerned that maybe this wallet or this purse is really someone else's, and maybe it's someone else's get. Rather, we say he knows that he has identifying features, that these are his objects, and that's what the get is attached to. Obviously, this get is the get that he was sent to deliver to the woman, and he could divorce a woman with that get. Now, obviously, what we see from that Bryce is that we rely on the identifying feature, that these are his objects, even to permit an eishes ish d'oraisa, because by giving the get, he's going to be permitting a married woman, even though that might not be the get, but since there's simonim that are telling him that this is his object, which the get is attached to, obviously we see that simonim are d'oraisa, that's a biblical halacha, because if not, you wouldn't be able to rely on the simon that this is your object to deliver a get, to permit an eishes ish d'oraisa. But that contradicts our Mishnah that makes it sound like that simonim are not d'oraisa. And that's why you cannot have a woman remarry based on that, which both of them are biblical concerns of eishes ish. So then Abaye says, Loi kasha, it's not a difficulty, because actually it's a machlekes. Ha, Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi. The Brisa is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi. And ha, our Mishnah is going like Rabban the Ditan, like within the Brisa, which Abaye says is the same machlekes. The Brisa says, Eime Eden ala Shuma. You cannot testify regarding the identity of a certain man, of a certain person, based on a mole, of a birthmark on the person. Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi, he says, Me'iden, you could use that to testify that this is that person. Now the Gemara says, Abaye wants to say, Ma'ila Baka Bilfakwi, isn't this what they're arguing about? Demar Sabbat, Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi holds Simon de Raisa. Identifying features are biblical. As Rashi brings from the Gemara Bam Mitzia on Dafchav Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes a Braisa there of a similar garment was included in different objects that are returned when it's found. Why does it mention specifically a similar? To say that just like that has identifying features, so that's a biblical halacha. Now, and therefore, because he holds a biblical halacha, that's why he holds you could identify a person based on the simon, which is a shuma. And moreover, that's why he says, regarding the halacha of a get, that you could use it if you identify it with a simon, that this is your kiss, and that's your wallet, and that's your ring, and you could divorce a biblical Eishes Ish based on that. Whereas a marsava, the Rabbanon, which the Tana of our Mishnah holds simon the Rabbanon. The simon only rabbinic, and since only rabbinic, that's why you can't identify a person based on a mole. And neither, as our Mishnah says, can you identify a dead person based on simonim in his guf or in his kalim. Now that the Gemara says, Amarava, he says no. Not necessarily that what's the seemingly machlekes between our Mishnah and the Braisa is a machlekes that you're quoting from that Braisa. Because Amarava, he says, the kulam is simon deraisa. Truthfully, you could say that everyone holds that simonim are biblical, which so the Gemara in Amud Beis is going to wonder, so then that's back to the question, what's the understanding of our Mishnah? But first he's discussing the Braisa, how he's going to show that it's not necessarily what seemingly the contradiction between our Mishnah and Braisa is this machlikis and this Braisa that you're trying to say if simon deraisa derabanan. Really, everyone holds an identifying feature is a biblical halacha, that you can verify an object based on an identifying feature. But, so what is their machlikis? Hacha, in this Braisa that you're quoting of the machlikis Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi and the Rabbanan is b'shuma mitzui b'ben gilu k'medfaki. They're arguing if a mole could be found in a person that's born in the same period and with the same mazel, the same constellation as the person who we're trying to identify, if they're so exacting, because they have the same mazel, the same everything, that they even have the same identifying features as a birthmark. And that is, Marsav, the Rabbanon hold, Shuma Mitzuyu b'ben Gilu. You cannot identify a person based on the Shuma, because maybe it's not going to say it's for sure it's him, because the person that's born under the same stars and everything like him can also have the same exact birthmark, and that's why it's not a simon. So although, yes, simon is deraisa, but that's not a simon, because someone else can have the same thing. However, Blessed Man Boy holds that, no, although someone that can be born with the same mazel, he's not going to have the same mole as this person. It's not so commonly found, and therefore it is considered an identifying feature. It is something unique to this object, to this person, to identify him by. And therefore, it's not a riot to answer that that's the same achlekes, our Mishnah and the Braisa. Or Vikudarma, those that say what Rava was saying, that Hacha b'shuma asui l'shtanis. Here what they're arguing about is that Braisa is regarding a mole, if it could change from its look, from its appearance, la'achar misa k'mifka. They're arguing about, after a person dies, does the mole change appearances? And therefore, the machlokes was marsav, the Rabbanan held, asur lishtanis lachamisa. You cannot identify a dead person based on this mole because it changes appearances after he dies. So you can't identify it by that, because whatever color you're seeing, it very likely wasn't that when he was alive. Umarsav ein asur lishtanis lachamisa. Whereas the Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi held that no, it's not usually, doesn't change after a person dies, and therefore it is that same simon that it always was, and therefore you could identify, as everyone holds, simon deraisa, to allow the woman to remarry. Vigadarmi, or those that say that Amar Rava, that actually says the reverse. He says that no, Abaye, it's not a raya that this is what they're arguing about to say that that's the machlikis our Mishnah and the Abraisa of simon deraisa drabon, because the kulam is simon drabon. Actually, everyone in the Abraisa holds that simon is only rabbinic, and that they don't expound, as that opinion says, of simla, that it's for simon, but rather actually that the point of that braisa was to say that just like a garment has claimants, which is only coming to exclude if someone already gave up and was mafkra's object, as the Gemara there brings that machlekes, everyone holds really that simon is only rabbinic, there's no biblical source for an identifying feature in halacha. And that's why our Mishnah makes sense. Because if it's only rabbinic, of course you can't use that to allow a woman to remarry. But then if that's the case, so what's the understanding of Elazar ben Mavoi that you could identify a dead person based on the Shuma? B'Halacha here, the Machlokes was uniquely in regards to the Halacha of Shuma. Because B'Shuma, as we get down on Talmud Beis, Simen Muvu Kamifli, they are arguing about not just a regular Simen, because a regular Simen, as we said, is only rabbinic and would not allow a woman to remarry based on that. But if it's a highly specific, unique Simen, which that would be able to work even on a biblical level. And that is because Marsa Rablazim Avoy holds Simen Muvik. It's a really clear-cut identifying feature. So even if you hold Simon as only rabbinic, but such a simon you can rely on even regarding a biblical prohibition. But Omar Sava, the Rabbanan held, that no, lav simon muvik, it's not an identifying, such a unique identifying feature, so although it is a simon, but simon is only rabbinic, and therefore that wouldn't be allowed, as our Mishnah holds, to allow you to remarry based on that identifying feature. Now, as we alluded to this on the Medav, the Gemara asks, now, ulahach lishna, according to the first two versions, Dama Rava Simonim Dei Raisa, that everyone holds Simonim are biblical. And again, as we said, so and the whole Machlokes Rabbi Elazar ben Mavoi and Rabban was only specifically in regards to Shuma. Does it change? Can you find it by the Ben Giloi? But if that's the case, and that's why he said that it's not a riot to where Abaye wants to interpret their Machlokes and Abraisa to say that's Machlokes our Mishnah. And that other Braisa we quote of the get, but Hakatani we learned in our Mishnah, Afa Pishir Simon Begufo Yubekalab, that even if this dead man has identifying features in his body and his garments, we cannot marry the woman based on that. But you yourself just said that everyone holds simonim as deraisa. So why can't you use that to allow a woman to remarry based on that? So that the Gemara answers, the reason for that is because when our Mishnah says that they said identifying features in his body and his garments, when we said gufa, his body, that meant the aruch v'gutz, the simonim that they said was if he was tall or short. Now that's not a simon. And similarly, when they said Caleb regarding his garments, that even if they're saying identifying features, this exact clothing he used to wear, that also wouldn't be a simon. So even though simon is deraisa, and let's say that would work for certain things, it won't work for, let's say, garments, because the chashin and the sheila were concerned that maybe someone else borrowed his clothing from him. And it's that other person that died. Now, people see and they say, oh, that's his clothing. We know he always wore that shirt. They always wore that jacket. That's not going to help because maybe someone borrowed it from him. And because of that, that's not going to help to be a simon to allow the woman to remarry. So although, yes, simon deraisa, but the type of simon that are being said regarding gufa v'kelim are not true simonim, either because it's too generic or because it actually might be that he actually lent it to someone else and it's that person who died. Now, the Gemara asked regarding this that we explained regarding Caleb, that it's not a simon because we're concerned that maybe he lent it to someone else. So the Gemara asked, if there really is such an element that we can never use a simon to identify someone or something if we are concerned that maybe it was loaned to someone else, which in the case of this dead person, well then, chamor b'simonei ukiv, regarding this, that we learn in Masechtas B'Metzia, Perek Eil Metzias, that you could return a donkey to someone that lost it based on if he gives identifying features in the saddle that he has on the donkey. Hechem Mehadrin, and how could you return it? Maybe the saddle was loaned to someone else, and maybe it's not his donkey, it's someone else's donkey. How can you prove it's yours by something that could be loaned? So nothing more answers, no. Lo shayli inshi uchfa. People do not loan the saddle. The donkey owner would not have loaned his saddle for his donkey to his friend. And the reason is because the maskev leila chamri. If you don't have the exact saddle you need for your donkey, if it's a little bit off, it's going to be abrasive and it's going to hurt the donkey. And therefore, people don't loan their saddles. And therefore, it is an identifying feature, almost like giving a simon in your donkey, because that's something that's not loaned. Now, but the Gemara asks, still on this principle, from the price that we quoted on Amin Alf regarding the one that brings the get, we said, if Motze Kosher Bekis to Ba'arniki B'Tabas, that if he finds this get at a later point in time attached to his wallet or his purse or his ring, so he said that, oh, for sure, that then as he identifies these objects as his, this is for sure the get that he was sent, and he can go ahead and give the woman the get. On that, the question is, Hechem Hadrinan, how could we go ahead and respond to that? What are you going to say over there? Because you have to be concerned that even though he recognizes this as his wallet, but maybe he loaned it to someone else and that other person attached a get to this wallet of his and then returned it to him and forgot the get on it. So if you're saying we have to be concerned for loaning, So maybe this wallet that says yes, but maybe it's not his get because maybe it's someone that he loaned it to had attached the get to it. How does that prove that this is the get that he was sent to deliver to that woman? Sadik Mar says, similar here also, that no. Yes, generally you have to be concerned for loaning, but it's only something that is loaned. Tabas, a ring, chayish lizyufi. People are concerned to loan a ring because maybe the person that you're lending it to is going to use the imprint, the shaping of that person's ring and make that same imprint. And he's going to go ahead and show it to that person's wife to show that with that signet, that saying that your husband said that whatever I'm going to ask, you should give me, because the person's going to go ahead and make a copy of it. And people are very concerned because they would use their rings as their signature. So obviously people are not going to be loaning out their rings because of what can happen that people are going to do with their rings. And similarly, kisvarnike, people don't lend their wallets and their purses because of menachshi inshi. People are superstitious about these things, that as if that someone's going to take away their mazel if they give them a wallet or their purse, because it's the person's own things. It's something that signifies the person's wealth and their mazel. And therefore, people will not loan those things, and therefore, you're right. As we said, that you cannot use Caleb, his own vessels, his garments, as a raya, because although there's a simon, but maybe it was loaned to someone else. But these things are things that people don't loan, and therefore, you could use them as identifying features. Now, Rashi says, but we said in additionally in that brisa, which we seems like conveniently didn't mention over here, that it said that if he found it amongst his kalim, that then you could still go ahead and deliver the get. But we just said, as we explained to the Mishnah, that kalim, unlike, yes, kis, arniki, tabas, that we are concerned that it was loaned. So why does it help if he finds it amongst his kalim in his house and he knows that these are his kalim, he could deliver the get? But we said in the Mishnah that regarding kalim, we're concerned that it was loaned to someone else. So how can you use that as an identifying feature? So that Rashi says, not difficult, because when it says kalov, his kalim in the Mishnah, that's a reference to his garments. This dead person's garments wouldn't help because that people do loan. But when we mentioned kalim in that halacha of gittin, that was talking about when he finds it amongst his utensils of his household, where he finds it in a certain box, where those are certain utensils that people don't usually lend out. That's what we meant to say, that then you can go ahead and deliver the get, because obviously since you identify this as your utensil, which is not usually loaned out, so therefore then you can go ahead and deliver the get. That was one approach, why Caleb and Gufov are not simonim, even if you hold simonim deraisa. Gufov is because too general, and Caleb is because maybe it was loaned. Or the Gemara says, to avoid these last questions, that maybe even if we said that, no, we're not concerned for loans, as we see with these other halachas, but still Caleb, his garments would not be enough of a simon, because when we said Caleb in the Mishnah, that we said that when if you identify in his body or his garments, that we can't rely on it as a simon, it's talking about b'chivari b'sumke. If he says that it's what color it was, if it was red or white, we're saying if it's red or white in the person's garment is not enough of a simon. Again, it's similar to being tall or short, where there's many people that are tall or short, and there's many people that have white and red garments. And that's what we meant, that won't be a simon. But yes, if you give a real unique simon, which it would be the halacha of simon deraisa, then of course, according to this version of Rava, it would be enough to identify on the biblical level to allow a married woman to get remarried based on identifying that this person was the one who died. Now the Mishnah said that you have to know that the person's soul had departed. And that's vafila ro'o maguyid v'chuli. Even if you see that he's all hacked and he was chopped up with a sword, then until you literally see that he's dead, it's not enough. Now, that the Gemara asks, lememra de maguyid chayid, does that mean to say, as it sounds like from the Mishnah, that a person was hacked, that he could still survive, and that's why you can't say testimony that the person died? But v'remina, there's a contradiction from a Mishnah Masechtas Alos that says, adam enim etame, a dead person transmits tumah, He does not transmit tumah asher teitzei nafsho until his soul actually departs. Afilim aguyid, even if he's hacked. Afilim gaisis, even if he's in the throes of death, he's by his last breath, it doesn't make a difference until his soul actually departs. He does not transmit tumah. Now, that the inference is, temui le mitame, it's only that he doesn't transmit tumah. Homich yeloi chaya, but it sounds obviously that he's not going to survive, and that seems to be the chiddush in maguyid and gaisis, but that seems to contradict our mission. That sounds like that even someone that's maguyid could actually even survive. And that's why you can't testify that the person had died. Now, that Amar Abaye says, Loi Kasha, as he said regarding the other contradiction, he says, it's not a contradiction, because actually, Machlekes. Ha, our mission is Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Ha, the Mishnah Masechtas Olos is going like the Rabban and the Tan, like learning the Braisa, where he wants to say that's Tali in that Machlekes. The Braisa says, Mi'idin ala Maguyid, you could say testimony on someone that was chopped up. But the Tanakhama says you can't say you cannot testify that a person was dead if it was hanging from the gallows. He says, you can't even say testimony regarding someone that was chopped up. Nay, as our Mishnah obviously is saying, and that's what we're saying, Rabbi Shimon Laza, the town of our Mishnah, because he can cauterize, which means to say that he can stop the bleeding and he could survive. And because of that, even though he was cut up in different places, the person could still survive that type of an incident. And that's why he's a town of our Mishnah. Whereas the one who argues, who says that you could testify regarding Maguid, is going like that Mishnah, Masechtas Olos. Now, that the Gemara asks, Umimatsisa lo okmi kerib Shimon Laza? Can you really say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon Laza? But Vakutani Seif, we learned in the Seif of a Mishnah, which is a reference to the coming Mishnah of Kof Chafal from Adalf, where a lot of times it's called Reisha and Seifa, which the Mishnayos are cut. You know, the first half is what we're quoting here, and the Seifa is the coming Mishnah. The coming Mishnah says, Maisa ba'asya, there was an incident in Asya, Be'echad shel shel shaluhu liyam, where someone that was lowered into the sea, and when they tried bringing him back up, also the only thing they got when they went up to bring him up from the sea was his leg. Now, the sages said that depends. Minhar kuvo lamaila tinase. If the leg, which means to say was cut off from the rest of his body, was above the knee, then she can get married, because obviously he's dead. Minhar kuvo lamata lo tinase, but if it was below the knee, then she cannot get married, because it could be that he survived. Now, that's only regarding the wound that he had. Obviously, that something happened that his leg was cut off. Now, Rashi says, but regarding the fact that maybe he drowned, that's not halachically valid to allow her to get remarried, because since that's what's called Mayim She'en L'Masayif, we don't see the end of the waters. We're concerned that maybe the person came out at a later distance and we didn't see. But one thing that we see from the Seif of the Mishnah is that if his leg was cut off above the knee, that then she could get married. Obviously, we see that Meguyid is Loichai, that someone that was hacked cannot survive. So if you're saying that Halacha of our Reisha, of our Mishnah, is based on Rav Shimon Laza that says that if you're Meguyid, you could survive, but it seems like clearly that if someone is hacked, meaning that if only the leg is hacked above the knee, you cannot survive. So I think Moshe says, no, Shani Maya, my water is different. If you're chopped, if you're Meguyid and you're in water, then it's true, then you cannot survive. And the reason is because the marzumaka, because what happens is that the water creates it, and it agitates the wound, it doesn't allow it to be cauterized, and that's why it's for sure that the person died. But you're right, in the regular sense, if it's not in the water, then as our Mishnah says, which is going like Mishnah Laza, even if you're Maguyid, you could survive. And now the Gemara asks, on the whole halach of Mishnah Laza, how could it be that you're saying that if a person is Maguyid, he could survive because on this principle what you're calling of lichvois, that you could cauterize it? But he said, Ledidi chazli ahutai, I saw this Arab merchant, the shokel safsir, that took a knife, v'gaydi legamli, and he chopped up his camel, v'le'afsi kasi l'lunaruse, and there was no way of stopping the braying of the noise, the voice of the animal, because it didn't stop screaming until it died, meaning that there was no way to stop it from dying. So you see that if it's Maguyid, there's no way to cauterize it. And that Amabai says, no, hahi k'chi shahavya, that camel was a weak one. A weak is different. That doesn't have the energy, so yes, it's going to bleed to death. But a regular person could be that they could cauterize the wound and they could therefore survive even Maguyid, and that's the halacha of Shimon Laza, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav Amar, he says, to resolve the contradiction of our Mishnah Masechtas Olos, he says, you don't have to say like Abai that it's a machlekes. You could say that our Mishnah is toma besakin mulubenes, a knife that was heated in fire, that because of that heat, that's when it's wounding the person, it actually at the same time heals him. And therefore, v'divrei hakol, our Mishnah could be going like everybody, even like the Rabbanan that argue and Rabbi Shimon Lazar, they hold general Maguyid cannot survive because you're going to bleed to death. But if it was a heated knife, which when it creates the wound, it actually cauterizes it as it wounds, there even they would agree that a Maguya could survive, and therefore our Mishnah could be going even like them, and you don't have to be saying there's Talu in the Machlokes. Now the Mishnah said additionally that, again, you cannot say testimony regarding a person that he's dead, even if an animal is pounced on him and is devouring him, it doesn't make a difference until you see that it sold the parts, you cannot say that he's dead. Now that Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuli qualifies this halacha, he says, this was only if the animal is eating the person from a place where his soul doesn't depart. Let's say he's eating his foot. But if he's eating from the person in the place where his soul departs, let's say by his heart, somewhere where it's integral for the person, then if you see he's eating there, then obviously the person is not going to survive. Related to this, the Gemara brings from the same Amayra, the Amr Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol, he says, Shachet by Shnaim or Reiv Shnaim Ubarach. If let's say a person was slaughtered where the two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus, were cut, or even if a majority of them were cut, and then the one who was slaughtered ran away, the Aloch is Me'idin. You could say testimony that he's dead because he's definitely a dead man. If his two pipes, his ear pipe, his windpipe, and his food pipe were cut, obviously he's dead. Now that the Gemara is eating, is that really so? But V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, this same Amor said, Shachet b'yishnayim or reiv shnayim, if a person had that his two pipes, or the majority of them were cut, V'ramaz v'amar kisvu ged lishin, now he can't talk anymore, but he signals and he shows with sign language that the people should write a get for his wife, that she shouldn't be widowed, he wants her to be divorced. So they could write and give it to her. So what you see from that same Amayra, that obviously we consider him like he's still alive, even when his pipes are cut. So why do you say that you can't testify, why do you say that you could testify that he's dead if we see that he's still considered alive? So that the Gemara says, no. Chaihu, yes, right now when his pipes are cut, he's still alive, and therefore he could still execute a get. But v'sayf olamas, but ultimately he's definitely going to die, because there's only that much longer he's going to survive. He's definitely going to die, and therefore we could testify, whatever it is, a short amount later, to say that he's definitely a dead man, and allow his wife to remarry. Now, without the Gemara asks based on this, Elimiyata, if that's the case, that if a person has even just the majority of his two pipes, his windpipe and his food pipe, that they were cut, that he's definitely going to die, well then Yehei Goyla, then someone else who by mistake slaughters this person, which means say that the person was laying there, let's say, and a knife fell out of his hand and slaughtered that person, he should have to go into exile, Al Yadai, because of killing this person, because he killed them by mistake, which is the halacha of going to exile into Ir Miklat. So the question is, Aloma Tanya, why do we learn the Braisa Shochet Shnaim or Reiv Shnaim? If a person slaughtered a person, his two pipes or the majority of the two pipes, Hareza Eina Goyla, he doesn't go into exile even if he kills this person. Why not? You just said that that's obviously killing him. It might take some time. Now he's still alive, but he's killing him. So why doesn't that require, if he did it by mistake, to have to go into exile into the Ir Miklat? So I think my answer is, we said regarding that won't require galus for the one who killed them by mistake, because Amar Avhoisha, he says, Cheshina, we're concerned that yes, for sure this person is going to die, but we're concerned Shema HaRuach B'Balasai. Maybe the wind went and caused more damage to the person, which that went and caused the person to die. Now, therefore, regarding the halachas of galus is only when this person alone was the cause of this person's death. Now, but with the wind, maybe that because he was out there in the elements, the wind caused him to die. And therefore, the person wasn't the only one causing him to die. Therefore, he's not going to exile. Now, however, regarding the man's wife to allow her to get remarried, of course they could say testimony, because for sure he died. It's just that maybe it wasn't only the person who slaughtered him that caused it, maybe it was the wind that also caused it, but something is going to cause it anyway, so therefore we could allow the woman to get remarried, but the person who killed him by mistake will not have to go into exile. Or Inami, or another reason why Gullus would be different is because Shema Ihu, maybe the person that was slaughtered, as we continue on top of Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Kirv Misasa, maybe he himself, by throwing himself back and forth because of this pain that he's in, or in the throes of death that he's in, he moved around more than what was necessary. That caused him to die. Therefore, the one who killed him by mistake does not go into exile. It's only because if he's the only cause of the person's death. Since he wasn't the only cause, because it could be the person was shaking back and forth caused his death too, therefore he's going to be exempt from galus. Now, that the Gemara's might be now, what's the difference between these two reasons of either it was the wind that contributed, not just the slaughter, or the person himself in the throes of death caused it? What's the difference? That the Gemara says there's two differences on either way. And that is either the shachte bebeis of the shesha, if he slaughtered him in a house of marble where there's no wind coming in, uparches, but the person that was dying was moving back and forth, where according to the version that said it's the wind that caused it, here he would go into exile, but of course here there's no wind, and therefore he's dying because of him. But according to the version that says that he caused, the person himself who's dying caused it, then he wouldn't go into exile because here he is causing it by moving around. Or inami, let's say deshachte bebara, he slaughtered him outside, where there is wind, v'lo pirkes, but the dying man didn't move, where then the reverse would be true, according to the one that says that it's because of the wind, he would not go into exile, because here there is wind. But according to the one that says, because the dead man's throes that's contributing, therefore, that wouldn't apply in this case, and he would go into exile, because here, the dead man is not moving back and forth. And that would be the difference between those two reasons. But anyway, that's what we said is the difference between going into exile and testifying for the woman. Yes, definitely, if a man had his two pipes slaughtered, he's definitely going to die, and that's why you could say testimony for such a woman. But there's no galus for someone that did a b'shaygig, because it's not only him that caused it, it could either be a contribution also of the wind or of the dead man's throes himself that causes himself to die.